The owner of that club, the manager, he told me, there's some guy here who plays very good country music. And right at the parking lot, I heard music coming out of the club. What was on the speakers sounded like country music by either Don Williams or Kenny Rogers. But shock on me, I walked into the place and there was this guy, as black as me, looking like my own brother, belting out things that sounded like they were being sung by Kenny Rogers. I was in shock.
Hello, Georges Collinet with you on Afropop Worldwide from PRX. On this edition, we take you on a trip from Nashville to Nairobi as we explore the history of country music in Kenya. You're hearing a concert from Sir Elvis, one of the leading country musicians on today's scene in Kenya. Well, to some listeners, this might come a bit as a surprise. Country music pouring out into the streets of Nairobi? Hey! But as we will learn, country music actually has long roots in Kenya. It dates back to the 1920s and 30s, when Christian missionaries left behind their 78 RPM records, containing early American country western music. These records became hugely popular with the local populations, including many areas throughout Kenya, and inspired a new generation of musicians to pick up a guitar and take their own version of a yodeling cowboy. Yeah.
African country music, it's the kind of thing, like, as soon as I heard it, I'm just like, I love this music. And I really like that it's the kind of reverse direction that we associate with a lot of African and American or European and African music. I think it's really fascinating, and it's really important to see how these kind of influences go both directions. It's a lot more complex than I think it might seem at first.
That was Gordon Ashworth, founder of Olvido Records, based in Chicago, Illinois, a record label dedicated to the restoration of old and hard-to-find music, including many forgotten guitarists from Africa. In 2019, they released the compilation album Bulawayo Blue Yodel, filled with these lonesome high sounds from 1950s Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Kenya. This is Kenyan yodeling cowboy Sammy Ngaku. Gordon is right. We often think of early African music coming to America to lend its influence on roots music, jazz, country, and blues. But we don't think as much about American music coming to influence Africans during this time. But in these recordings, well, you can clearly hear the influence of early American country western music on these African yodeling cowboys. For many of these musicians in Kenya and beyond, the most influential American singer was Jimmy Rogers, widely regarded as the father of country music. Here is one of Rogers' songs that reached great popularity at that time, Waiting on a Train, from 1928.
All around the water tank, to a brakeman to give him a line of talk. He says, if you've got money, I'll see that you don't walk. I haven't got a nickel, not a penny can I shield. Get off, you railroad bum. He slammed the boxcar door. Ole-ee, ay, ole-ee.
You know, Jimmy Rogers especially, like, his music was everywhere. It was all over the world, like 100 years before the internet. And that was really fun about this project, to really realize that the world, I think, has been more global. Access to music was broader and wider and more intensive than I think a lot of people realized. I love that Jimmy Rogers hit it big, because he was this, like, frail, not particularly conventionally attractive. He wasn't like Roy Rogers or this heartthrob. He had tuberculosis and he was pretty sickly, but there's just something about his music that just connects with people. I don't know what it is. And there's a speculation that there's elements of his guitar playing or singing that are reminiscent of different types of traditional music from all over the world. And so it would be easy to identify with those things. I mean, like, oh, he's doing this high singing. Well, we have that in my culture or whatever. So I like this, or I can relate to this, you know what I mean? Or his guitar strings sound like some other plucked string instrument or something. It doesn't make any sense that he was so wildly popular, but I think a lot of it was just, not to detract from his talent, he wrote very memorable melodies and was just a great pop songwriter. But I think he was just right there at the right time, and they just kind of picked him, and they're like, all right, we're gonna push your records. And they ended up all over the world, and you know, you hear interpretations of Jimmy Rogers from literally all over the world. To me, he was the first real global pop star.
Jimmy Rogers was indeed popular everywhere throughout Africa and Kenya. In 1950, Hugh Tracy, a British-born ethnomusicologist, traveled to Kapkatet, Kenya, to record the native songs of the Kipsigis, a pastoral tribe based in the western highlands of the Rift Valley. And you can hear the name Jimmy Rocha, or Jimmy Rogers, throughout the lyrics.
Film and music, and even before there was sound-based film and there was like silent cowboy movies that were being projected in mining camps and labor centers, and at the same time, you know, there was records and radio, so it kind of created this holistic archetype of a cowboy that was musical, that was based on the fashion, you know, Stetson hats and chaps and cowboy boots, and the lifestyle of just having total freedom and being a very independent man fighting the bad guys and winning, and, you know, winning the women or whatever. So it, I really think it became this total lifestyle. And so if you were super into Jimmy Rogers, you were super into these cowboy movies, you're just like, this is the perfect lifestyle. And it's also just a fantasy. It's an escape. A lot of incredibly difficult and oppressive conditions in colonial Africa. And so to have that kind of escape from reality in the kind of archetype of the cowboy, I think was incredibly appealing. And that it just mixed perfectly with the music. And once the sound film came in, then the cowboys actually started singing. You had Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and stuff. Then it was just like the formula was complete. Like, all right, I'm gonna be a cowboy. I'm gonna play guitar. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna yodel. And I'm gonna have freedom. Sammy Ngaku, clearly directly influenced by Jimmy Rogers. Straight up yodels, melodically identical to Jimmy's. So that was obviously a huge influence on him. I mean, I love his voice. I love his guitar playing. It was a real treat when we finally got the lyric translations, because I think the lyrics are really interesting. Like a lot of these songs, they're kind of moralistic, and they're kind of about this kind of clash between more traditional rural cultures and colonization, industrialization, and the kind of falling victim to vices like gambling and prostitution and stuff. So it's interesting to kind of get an idea of what he was actually singing about and his kind of perspective. In Zimbabwe and South Africa and Kenya, where these recordings are from, these musicians are from, it came at this interesting kind of intersection where radio was just starting to take off. They finally developed wind-up phonograph players that Africans could actually afford. And that changed everything. And that meant that not only could people access music more easily in their home, but the record companies were like, we should make music to cater to these customers. And we should start recording music in all these different languages and all these various musical styles so that we can sell it back to them, basically. But it had this, aside from the pure capitalism of it, it preserved this music.
I mean, records sold. The other thing about records, and this matters a lot for the Jimmy Rogers period that people don't remember, is that unlike radio, record players were wind-up mechanical devices. You didn't need electricity to sell records and record players. So there were records and record players in all these villages that had no other mass media. They didn't have movies. They didn't have radio. All they had was record players. And so, you know, there's a period right up through the 50s, I don't know, in Africa, quite possibly into the 60s, when you still have a market for rural 78s, because you still have places where, you know, as I say, where there is no radio, where there is no electricity. Why Jimmy Rogers, I don't know, but Jimmy Rogers was it all over Africa. I mean, John Storm Roberts said he had collected Jimmy Rogers imitations in 24 different African languages. I don't know how many countries that is, because that could be, what, four or five languages just in Kenya.
That's Elijah Wald, an American folk blues guitarist and music historian who spent time hitchhiking throughout Africa, seeking out some of his favorite guitarists.
I went over to Africa in 89. I was just there 89 and 90. And I was actually going in because I had learned that Jean Bosco Mwendo was still alive. And I wanted to take guitar lessons from him in what was then Zaire. And I studied with Jean Bosco and with Edward Masengo in Lubumbashi. And then headed up to Kenya. And again, hitchhiking. I hitchhiked from Lubumbashi to Kenya. And Kenya, I was basically just going with the John Storm Roberts original music albums. He had two or three albums of Kenyan stuff, which then ended up as two CDs. And I was in Nairobi, and my first or second day there, I walked into a music store and went up to the owner and asked if he knew where I could find any of the old guitar players from the late 50s, early 60s. And he said, like who? And I said, like Herbert Misango, who recorded Waze Wakiso back around 61. And he said, yeah, he's working behind the counter over there. And he was.
We are listening to that song by Herbert Misango, Waze Wakiso.
So we got together, and then he introduced me to John Nzenze. Nzenze just means guitar. So John Nzenze is like Johnny Guitar. And he took me around to some clubs. I mean, John Nzenze was sort of a central figure in that world. That's basically the story. I spent a little time there. I bought a lot of tapes. At that point, you still could buy cassettes of a lot of the older guys. And it was interesting. If you wanted to find the older acoustic guitar players, what you did was look for cassettes of guys with cowboy hats. They were not most of them still doing the yodeling cowboy stuff, but that was still how you found them. But on the radio, at that point, this is 1990, still every Sunday afternoon, there was a two-hour program of what was called Old Kikuyu music. And the Old Kikuyu music was simply Jimmy Rogers imitations. And they didn't know that. That was something I found fascinating. the people I was living with simply thought of that as old Kikuyu music. They had no idea that there was an American music that sounded similar to it. So they did not think of it as Kenyan versions of country western. By that time, that Jimmy Rogers yodeling sound was simply what old Kikuyu music sounded like.
We were exposed to Western music back in the 1950s. Okay, I was not there then. I'm talking about my folks then. Maybe even earlier, 40s into 50s and then 60s and 70s.
That's David Kimoto, or DK as he calls himself, who hosts the popular TV show Strings of Country on Kenya's Three Stones TV channel.
This was music from the UK and a lot of it also from America. It kind of picked up very well with our audiences and our viewers. From that, from country western music, you know, we had our own, okay, if I talk about my community, the Kikuyu community, we had our own dances, you know, we call it Momboko and other kinds of dances, whereby the main instrument was the accordion and then later on the guitar. And now together with the exposure from the music that we are getting now from out there, that music transformed a little bit. It got a bit of influence from country music. And so you find there's a lot of influence in terms of instrumentation and lyrics that we acquired from the music that we mostly heard from radio and the music shops in town.
Catherine Donier, host of the long-running KBC English service program Sundowner, also spoke about country's influence on Kikuyu music.
The Kikuyu have a traditional dance. In their traditional music, they happen to have incorporated a music instrument that was brought about by the British, the colonialists, and that is the accordion. Now, when the Kikuyu are doing their traditional music, they actually play that thing. And they have a name for that dance. The most traditional one is called Momboko, where the accordion would be playing and the old men and women would be playing like, you see, the way the British normally dance, you know, like on the tip of their toes, like they're waltzing. Kikuyus picked something that looks like that. Now, Mugithi and also that Momboko gave rise to the performers of Kikuyu music today actually sing something very close to country, but in their language. They create some songs that sound like country songs, but they are in the Kikuyu language. And that is really, really appreciated by people when they are out in gigs and they dance to it. Actually, the lady that sings with Sir Elvis, she's Kare B. Now, before Kare B joined Sir Elvis to sing country music with him, Kare B was doing pure Kikuyu music. And she had never thought she could sing English songs. She couldn't imagine herself singing country music, but she was shocked and she surprised everybody because I think she's the best country music female singer in this country.
We will hear more from David and Catherine later in the program. But first, let's hear a bit more Kikuyu music. Joseph Kamaru was a leading Kikuyu musician and political activist who moved to Nairobi from rural Kenya in the late 1950s. In 1965, after Kenya gained independence, Nairobi was home to many independent music labels and recording studios. And Kamaru's unique blend of traditional Kikuyu melodies and guitar quickly became popular. He passed away in 2018, but thankfully in recent years, Kamaru's grandson, a musician himself, has reissued all of his grandfather's music, which is now available on Bandcamp. Here is Kenyan country musician Steve Rogers.
There's a legend by the name Joseph Kamaru. He passed away a few years ago. That guy was a music genius. You know, his style of music, how he played his stuff was more of country. If you listen, you may not understand the language, but you'd feel that was pure country.
Mm-hmm. Yani ani ne te na gido mo ya jana ena mandari. Moruti wa wera ikaga mieri tanto. Etia mo ya kae o jiringi kome. Etia mo ya kae o jiringi kome. Etia mo ya kae o jiringi kome. Ando ito te yori ya jiringi joy kome. Ne joy koiga namoka na jana jamondo jo. Ne joy koiga namoka na jana jamondo. Me hago ya poco de na maundo mainge matare bata puede que ora de que aunque hago quisi si viora de que aro ne beja jaku si viora de que aro ne beja jaku si viora de que aro ne beja jaku.
Another popular early Kikuyu musician was Francis Ragwiti, heard here with his song Señorita.
Taroga manena gotaida señorita. Ona coronero meneke tukarege. Tukae tukatange idetia señorita. Tadone oe ware wako keringero. Tadone oe ware wako keringero señorita.
Radio has always played a huge role in spreading the popularity of country music in Kenya. Today, there are several programs heard across various channels that play this music. But it all started with one show, KBC English Service's Sundowner, which is the longest-running radio program heard in Kenya. Here at Afropop, we had the opportunity to talk to one of its current hosts.
My name is Catherine Ndonye. I'm a radio producer and presenter with the KBC English Service. I've been an on-air presenter for the last 25 years. About 20 years ago, I began hosting the Sundowner Show. The Sundowner Show is the oldest running radio show in Kenya today because it was started by the British way back in the 50s before Kenya attained independence. Of course, Kenya Broadcasting Corporation is the state broadcaster, and it was begun in 1928 during the colonial days because the British wanted to have a way of entertaining their own people, their workers, their families, the British who had settled in Kenya. So they started the first radio station. Today, it is the KBC English Service. But back in the day, it was also called the General Service of KBC. So Sundowner was begun by the British broadcasters way, way before independence in the mid-50s, late 50s. And so every living person today in the country has had a chance to listen to Sundowner. Some of us started listening to Sundowner when we were children because our parents were listening to the same show. It is a show that came every evening at 6 p.m. It is a musical show that plays the golden oldies. Where country music comes into Sundowner is that it is a prominent genre on the show. A lot of music that has been played on the Sundowner Show over the years happens to be country music.
Well, and when it comes to country music in modern-day Kenya, we have to start with Don Williams, the gentle giant of country music, who even after his passing remains one of the most popular artists throughout the country.
Anytime I hear, "Lord, I hope this day is good" by Don Williams, I envy the people of Zimbabwe because I know Don Williams visited and I've watched the concerts on YouTube, and those people were just very lucky to have gotten a piece of the gentle giant, Don Williams, and to sing along to his songs right there as he performed in a very, very gentle way.
I should be thankful, Lord, I know I should. But Lord, I hope this day is good. Lord, have you forgotten me? I've been praying to you faithfully. I'm not saying I'm a righteous man, but Lord, I hope you understand. Fortune and I don't need fame. Send down the thunder, Lord, send down the rain. But when you're planning just how it will be, plan a good day for me. Lord, I hope this day is good. I'm feeling empty in the sun. I should be thankful, Lord, I know I should. But Lord, I hope this day is good.
Coming up next, we will hear from some of the leading artists in today's country scene in Kenya. And you can visit afropop.org to see a playlist of Kenyan country artists. I'm Georges Collinet, and you're listening to Afropop Worldwide from PRX.
Thank you.
Okay, we spent the first half of this episode learning how country music got to Kenya, and by all accounts, it's here to stay. The current scene is as popular as it's ever been. We talked to some of the leading TV and radio presenters about why this genre continues to endure.
My name is David Kimotho. On air, I go by the name DK. I'm presenter of a show known as Strings of Country. And this show has been running on Three Stones TV since 2014. And we play traditional and also contemporary country music. And I must say that it's been good. It's, you know, it's been a good journey, and the popularity of country music is growing. So every day we get a lot of feedback from our viewers, our listeners. And all in all, you know, things are looking good. Three Stones TV broadcasts in three languages. That's English, Kikuyu, and Kiswahili. And we felt that among the Kikuyu speaking population, country music appeals to the majority a lot more than other genres of music. It's partly because our viewers can identify with the country music. This is the music that people grow up listening to. Actually, our parents, I would say, you know, grow up listening to. And it was available also on vinyl. So out in town, you could easily buy 45s, vinyl records, or 33 of, you know, Dolly Parton, Skeeter Davis, Charlie Pride, Kenny Rogers, and so on. And it grew on a lot of, you know, our viewers and listeners, because I think partly because of the simplicity of the music and the message. People find it a bit fascinating. This is American music. And in Africa, it's, you know, like I said earlier, it resonates very well. I think it's partly because of the lyrics, you know, the message in the music, and the simplicity in the instrumentation, I think. And I think also that popular or kind of admired cowboy lifestyle. That's where you find a lot of the musicians, or even a lot of people who go out to listen to country music. You find them donned in their cowboy boots, hats, and so on. Also, like I said earlier, country music is about life and a lot about family life, which is, you know, in Africa, that is key. In Africa, storytelling is a big thing, you know, right from those days where storytelling was something that happened, you know, at the fireplace. And then enter country music, and it's a new, you know, genre that, you know, sounds good, the beats are good, the stories are good, and hence the popularity.
Why Kenyans would love country music? Now, in the traditional African setting, every season, every event was celebrated by music. There was always music in our traditional African society to mark every kind of event. You know, if a baby has been born, there would be music to celebrate the birth of that baby. And it was music that passed a message. We Africans love to pass messages through music, or to receive a message through music. Now, country music for me sounds like very gentle music whose message is heard very clearly. If you listen to a country song, yes, there is the beat. Of course, we love music we can dance to. We as Kenyans, we love to shake to the beat of a song. If the song does not have a distinctive beat, we feel lost. We like to follow a nice, gentle beat of a song. And if that song has got words in it, we love to hear what the words are, and we love to sing along to those words. Now, country music happens to be gentle music, and a lot of time it is telling a story. It is a song you can learn and sing along to. I've always felt like that is why we love country music so much. It is peaceful, it is gentle, and you can hear each and every word that is sung on country music.
We can turn the key the world outside the door. I need you so now. Come on, let's go.
We've been listening to Carlos Skiba, one of the musicians on today's scene. He's just one of the growing list of country music artists throughout Kenya. On any night of the week, especially in Nairobi, country music fans can enjoy going to a concert to hear their favorite artists play.
There are many now. They are dotted all over Nairobi and outside Nairobi, whereby not just weekends, on Wednesday nights, Friday, Saturday nights, people go there to enjoy their country music. And very often, it's a blend of both traditional music and country music. You'll have an artist, a Kikuyu artist, and another musician also, it doesn't have to be Kikuyu, but also playing country music. Mostly traditional style, but there's also a bit of the contemporary style of country music. That's all over Nairobi now, and it's going to other parts of the country. People feel they need to enjoy the music fully. They immerse themselves fully, also in terms of dress, you know, since they see their favorite country musicians dressed in hats and boots and so on. And the feeling is that, you know, if we're going to have a real good time, then let's go, you know, let's go all the way and, you know, dress country and maybe even talk country as much as you can, whatever that means, and enjoy the music. So I think it has to do with, you know, trying to immerse ourselves, not just in the music, but also in the whole, in the culture that surrounds that genre of music. So if it's, you know, it's a country event, you find a lot of howdies as opposed to hi or hello, you know? And it's all part of, you know, trying to, you know, like I said, in, you know, enjoy the full package.
We enlisted the help of local radio producer Tevin Sudi to send in a field report from one of the nightly concerts happening in Nairobi.
Mic check, 1, 2. My name is Tevin Sudi. I'm here at the Homeland Lounge in Nairobi, along one of the busiest highways in Nairobi. That's the Thika Super Highway. And I'm here for Steve Rogers' performance. And I guess it started. I can hear some of the music as I'm walking in. So, let's go.
My name is Jelani, and I'm from Nairobi.
So, how did you stumble upon the country music scene?
I was introduced to country music by my mom, who listened to a lot of the old school country music artists when I was growing up, the legends, the Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Don Williams. Over the years, I guess my interest in country music grew as I started to appreciate the music and how the different styles of various country music songs were written. And yeah, the rest is history.
Today we are at Steve Rogers' show. So what did you enjoy most about today's show?
Well, I really enjoyed the performance today. It's really rare to find an artist who can actually perform live and sound as good as they would in the studio. I also enjoyed the crowd. I met so many amazing people, and which is actually, I was actually pleasantly surprised to find these many people who are also lovers of country music. So meeting as many people as I did today was a pleasant surprise, and I made connections that would last a lifetime.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm from Nairobi. I was first introduced into the genre by my parents, and then over the years when I was in uni, through my friends, such big fans of country music. So there was some couple events they were talking about, and yeah, I get it.
How did you find the show? Did you enjoy it? How was the show today?
It was interesting. The crowd, like, were a whole vibe. Just the music was great. So, like, what people were wearing, it was all top notch. Cowboy hat, jackets, the boots, like the pants, like everything cowboy. It was a whole vibe.
We recently sat down with Steve Rogers at a studio in Nairobi to talk to him about his budding career as a country singer in Kenya. We, of course, had to start with how he got his name. And we are later treated to some live in-studio performances of some of his favorite country classics.
Yeah, that's a nickname I got from, you know, people who used to come for my gigs and feel that I used to do a lot of Kenny's music, you know. And they gave me that nickname. And since that day, I picked up that name and it would be hard for me to lose it. I learned a lot of country music through Kenny. I love his style of playing. And, it got me thinking how good country music can get and how it's relatable to everyone all over the world. It was easy for me to relate to country music than any other thing I've ever listened to. So I think I fell in love with country music. And it's the best thing that I could do is to share whatever I had, the feeling that I had with the people out here.
And now for a bit of Steve Rogers' take on the classic Kenny Rogers song, beloved by millions around the world, The Gambler.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train Buffalo way, met on with the gambler, we were both to Tower's Hill. We took Tower's step, out the window of the darkness, the bottom of the he began to speak, he said, son, I'm in the light. I'll read in people's faces, knowing what the cards were, by the way they hid their lies. So if you don't mind, say, I can see a love racing for a test of a whiskey. I'll give you some advice. So I held him my bottle, drink the malice I love. Then he bought a cigarette, locks me for the light. And the Michael led the crowd, and his face was so special. Say, if you gotta play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time to love counting when the deal is done.
It's amazing. I love the growth. You know, looking at when I started, that was 10 years ago. We didn't have a very huge fan base, but we're having more artists doing country music, and that's the best thing. You know, we're going to popularize this thing and make it a mainstream music in Kenya. After I started, you know, doing country, I discovered that I needed to learn a few skills on the guitar. I'm not a perfect guitarist. I'm not so good on the guitar, but I can play a few chords. And you know, country music is just three chords and the truth, like Will Nelson said. I find it easy for me to relate. You know, if I would pick up a guitar and maybe strum a few chords, and it was easy for me to have those, you know, Don Williams songs and Cherry Pride songs, like, you know, Johnny Cash songs, you know. It was easy for me to play them because they're not so engaging when it comes to chord work. You know, not everyone would understand this, our concept, you know, the English version. So what I've done is I've teamed up with some few songwriters down here who can interpret this song or translate these songs from to a local language or probably Swahili. So it would be easier for everyone to connect with the music, even the grassroots, even the people in the remote areas, you know, because it's something they now understand in the language that they understand fully. So we've translated a few songs. I did something, there's a song by Johnny Cash. It's called I Still Miss Someone. So I did a Kikuyu version of the same. And it's not in the market yet, but we hopefully, you know, I normally play it in my regular gigs and people really receive it very well. So we're hoping, you know, people will embrace that style as well. And it will be easier for them to connect with the country music. You know, if you get to hear a version of your mother tongue, then you get to hear the version, the original version. I think it will be easy for them to appreciate country music more than ever.
Am I dull and these are falling? A cold one wind will come. See us walk by together, and I still meet someone. I go out on the poly and look for a little fun, but I find a dark and corner, 'cause I still meet someone. Yaiganeti e mai doma shiomaku. Demonago do handu hode. Yo tagido lewa em bedagia. Lidia vendo vitoa nemueo. Deodagia canania heraga. Otigania kerea tuan bereirie. De naidaga na kwa de handu. Dalirika na muendo awakwa. 'Cause I still meet someone. Dalirika na muendo awakwa. 'Cause I still meet someone.
I tell you, the future is looking bright for Steve. He was recently nominated for the Texas Sounds International Country Music Awards. He will be competing against other artists from around the world, Malaysia, Norway, South Africa, and Sweden, among many others, all bringing their unique flavor of country music to Texas. Sounds like fun. For Steve, well, this is an opportunity of a lifetime that he's very excited about. Not only be the first time in the United States, but the first time out of Kenya.
I've been invited to do Texas Sound International this year. It's a competition, you know, where guys come in to showcase their talents. And I'm telling you how big that can be and how people are willing to support me. There are people who want to travel with me all the way. More than 20 people already have confirmed they want to travel with me. That's how big country music is here. That's how they embrace country. And that's how they love our gigs and how they love country. This will be my first time to step out of Kenya, actually, not just in the US. It's more of a dream country, you know. I never saw it coming. I actually got it last week. I'm more of a country boy, so I never read my email. So it was sent actually like 10 days before I saw it. And it was exciting. It was a good feeling, yeah. If people can recognize whatever we do from that far range, so it's amazing and it's humbling as well. Yeah, I think I've shared a lot of my stuff probably in YouTube or social media platforms, and maybe they get to see my music and they appreciate it and think that I should share it with the world as well. That's how big country music is, and I hope we can keep that brand going on for a long time and forever, so our kids can find this music.
And watch out, folks. It's not just Texas Steve is coming for. He's aiming to make it to the Mecca for all country music, the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee.
I would love to probably get to the Grand Opry. It's a dream for every country musician all over the world. I know it's still early for me to say I'm going to play in the Grand Opry, but it's a dream and probably I'll push for it and see what happens between now and then. You know, you do your best and leave the rest to God.
The beloved and olden town that lies and low.
We wish you the best of luck, Steve. And thank you for sharing your music with Afropop Worldwide.
I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day long. Never felt a feeling quite this strong. I can't believe how much intense me on just to be your man. There's no hurry, don't you worry. We can take our time. Come a little closer, let's go over all I have in mind. In the locked and olden town, the lights down low. Put some music on the surface low. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day long. Never felt a feeling quite this strong. I can't believe how much intense me on just to be your man. Nobody ever loved nobody the way that I love you. We're alone now. You don't know how long I've wanted to. Locked and olden town, the lights and low. Put some music on the soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day long. Never felt a feeling that was quite strong. I can't believe a margin turns me on.
If you want to explore more of Kenya's country music, here is once again David Kimoto, host of Strings of Country, to share his recommendations.
Top five in Kenya, I would start with Sir Elvis Otieno. And then we have got Steve Rogers, Carlos Kiba, then Esther Conqueror. And then we need one more Esther Conqueror. Then we can do... Oh, I didn't mention Reuben Kigame. And Reuben Kigame, he's vying for the country's presidency. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's one of our big local country musicians and also gospel music artists. A lot of these guys do both country and gospel. And he has got a few very, very popular songs. And he's now vying for, to be president of the country in the upcoming elections in August. So we may well soon have a country artist president of Kenya. Of Kenya. Anyway, he's in it with a lot of many other people as well. But then it just shows you how much this particular genre is gaining popularity and growing.
And now to take us home and close out this episode of Afropop Worldwide, here is Reuben Kigame.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home. Place I belong, West Virginia.
and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home.
Funding for Afropop Worldwide comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art, and from PRX affiliate stations around the US. And thank you for supporting your public radio station. Thanks to Tevin Sudi for his help with this program. And visit afropop.org for playlists and videos of some of Kenya's country musicians featured in this program. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at AfropopWW. My Afropop partner is Sean Baldo. Sean produces our program for World Music Productions. Research and production for this program by Brandy Howell. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast, including radio programs and our Planet Afropop series. And don't forget to join us next week for another edition of Afropop Worldwide. Our chief audio engineer is Michael Jones. Additional engineering by GC from the Syncopated Blair in Washington, D.C. Benning Air and Savion Biggs edit our website, afropop.org. Our director of development is Mukwe Wabeisi Yolwe. Our director of new media is Savion Biggs. And I'm Georges Collinet.